Goes down, turn to page 68 in your hymnal, 68. Shake somebody's hand. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the Lord. I know that He. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is listening to all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. I ask me how I know He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. Isn't that a great feeling?
I serve a risen Savior. You know, isn't that great? That's why we're here today, because we're serving a risen Savior. It's great to look back on the congregation today and see all the pews filled. It's so glad to have each one of you here today. It's such a beautiful sight to look back and see each one of you here. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for each one that's made their way out. All the visitors, we just like to welcome you with open arms. We appreciate your company and invite you to be a fellowship with each one of us here. And let's just do what the Lord have us to do today, and we'll have a wonderful time. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, what greater day than Easter to accept Him in your life as your personal Savior? So the altar is always open. Somebody will be there to pray with you and show you the way that leads home. So before we open up the service any further, we need to open up with prayer. Do we have any special outspoken requests before we go to prayer?
Yeah. Pardon? Lakin Mouser, 4 month old with high temperature, and Jamie Taylor.
Unspoken. Let's go to prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the wonderful privilege it is to be able to come to You in prayer, Lord. We are thankful for a risen Savior, one who substituted Himself for our unrighteousness and substituted His righteousness, Father. We pray, Lord, that You take charge of every part of the service today, Lord, that You touch each prayer request mentioned this morning, those who are stricken with sickness, Father, or mental anguish, or whatever might be the cause, Lord. We pray, Lord, that Your hand might intervene in their lives, Lord, that they might feel Your presence working in their lives. Father, we pray, Lord, for every part of the service, every word spoken might bring glory and praise to Your wonderful name, Lord. We pray, Lord, that if someone here knows You not as their Lord and Savior, may they come under conviction today, Lord, to realize how lost they are without You and headed to a devil's hell. Father, we pray, Lord, that You touch each one here, that we might grow closer to You, that our minds and our hearts might draw ever closer to you and have a greater understanding, Father. Help us to be that witness we need to be in our home, place, our communities, and whatever we do. May we always bring glory to your wonderful name. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I have just a couple announcements tonight at 6 o'clock for all the members of the church. There'll be a communion service upstairs, and that's at 6 o'clock. Looking ahead a little bit, there's a shower for Kevin and Stacy. That's April 28th, and they'd like to invite all the members of the church, and that'll be here at the church. Here at the church, and what time will that be? Noon on April the 28th. That's a Saturday. So all you invited for that, and I think Charlie and Karen's looking forward to that. And their wedding will be May 19th, and everybody's invited to that too. So encourage
is that,
you.
Is that a shower, a girl thing, or a guy thing? My wife. I've never been to a shower.
Sometimes he smells like he's never had a shower. Yeah.
The wedding's for everybody. The shower's for like the women, you know. And how's Anderson College Days? It's April 25th to 27th. That's from like sophomores to seniors in high school. If you like information about that, see Brother John. Is there any other?
I don't think we should leave Kevin out. I think we should have a party room at the
The altar's always open here. Strike that. Is there any other announcements besides that? No other announcements. This time we'll take up a morning offering. Maybe I can get Kevin. Kevin and Davin. Pray for Poncho. We're going to get another congregation song, and that on the last verse, a patch of pirate can be dismissed to go back there.
Number one. 116. 116 in your hymnals, please.
Cleansing power.
revealing how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory, Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming. He helped me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the songs of victory. Oh, victory, Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me.
Thing. Jennifer, happy birthday. So our birthday was Monday, right? Okay.
39, 38. 47?
I don't have 47 cents. One more thing. Donna, would you come up and play Amazing Grace for us? Jeff, help. Number 12 in your hymnals, number 12.
12.
Standing. I'm not singing about myself. Do the first, the second. Now let's do all of them. Attraction for me, for the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling
cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, so displayed, so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
You might have a testimony they'd like to share with us now, how the Lord's done something special for your life and you'd like to give thanks to Him at this time. Thankful for a Lord that has saved me. You know, we're talking back in class. You know, I deserve hell. You know, I'm a sinner. You know, when I stand up against the law, I fall short. You know, I fall short and unrighteous. But I have a Christ that stepped in and took my place at hell for me, you know. And when I got saved, the only thing left for me was heaven. So I don't have to go to hell now. So I'm thankful for a Lord that substituted His place in the place of mine. So, that I could have life and have it more abundantly, and I could have eternal life. And it's not just something in the future. He comes in your life now, and He lives through you now. So I'm glad I have that Savior who loves me and is risen today. You know, and I'm serving a risen Savior. He's much alive today as He was in the beginning. So I'm thankful for that, thankful for all that He's done and the price He paid for me. So, anyone else? You have some special singing. Miss Heather's going to come and sing for you. Thank you.
dream, I took a journey. I was trembling as I stood among the crowd. Some said, crucify him. Others mocked and laughed. Not one soul came forward to speak on his behalf. I found myself drawn to this stranger, and I saw such compassion in his eyes. When he said the debt you owed will soon be closed, when the Lamb of God is crucified, that's why they call it grace. That's why they call it mercy. And the tears ran down my face.
Squalling. Amazing. I just wait for one of you girls to do that to pop. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. We're happy for each one that's come out to be with us tonight, or today. We do have communion for the members of the church tonight. You come on out and be at 6 o'clock at that. You enjoy that. It's as Beck's dad said on the way to church, this is the most holy of all our holidays. And I love Easter. And a lot of people don't realize it. America has been here since creation, but there would be no America as we know it had it not been for the cross. Our forefathers came here in search of what we enjoy today. They wanted some place where they could worship the Lord, and the dictates of their heart as they felt freedom. And I don't know about you, but I am very grateful to our forefathers who gave so much that we might have this privilege today. And what an honor it is to gather together without fear, without worry, and just gather together in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful privilege that a lot of this world would love to have. but they're not afforded the privilege we have today. Stand with me, if you would, in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11. We're just going to read down the first three verses. This is not, we're going to get into the cross here in just a few minutes and the resurrection, but we're going to start. This is a springboard in chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Father, we pray that you'd bless us and use us to your glory. Help us to be what you'd have us to be. We love you. We appreciate what you've done. We pray that you'd be in every home here this morning. Meet the needs of every individual. And we'll give you the praise. We ask it in the love name of Christ our Redeemer, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All of us here today are looking for something. We spend our lives looking. We spend our lives searching. In the story that I just read to you, John knew his life. He knew that he had came into this world to be the forerunner of the Christ. He knew who Jesus was, and he had gotten just a little discouraged. He was in prison for doing good. He wasn't in prison for doing bad. He was in prison for doing good. He even made the statement, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And as he's in prison, he wanted to hear the words again. He wanted to be reassured. And he heard that what was going on with Christ, and sent one of his disciples, who was allowed visitation in the prison. And as he went to talk to Christ, and he had heard the things he's done, Jesus gave him the answer. But he came and he asked, "Are you the Christ? Are you the one we're looking for?" If you go in Jerusalem today, and this has been 2,000 years ago, and you ask the average Jew on the street about the Messiah, they'll tell you they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. They do not accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And one day they will accept Him as the Messiah. And because they rejected Jesus Christ, you and I have this opportunity today, and what a privilege it is. Now, they are looking for something. All of us are looking for something. We don't know for sure what it is sometimes, but we're all looking for something. Some try to find it in fun. Young people are all the time looking for something to fulfill their days, something to make them happy, something that they can get that little rush out of. And as we get older, some folks never grow up. They continue spending their life searching for that fun. Some think they'll find it in a home life. Some people think that, you know, if I have a good home, a good wife, a good husband, have children, and life will be fulfilled, because then I'll fulfill the purpose of why I'm here. And they look for that in the home life. And home lives are good, just like fun. I love fun. I enjoy laughter. I enjoy having fun. I watched a little bit of the Three Stooges yesterday, and I love the Three Stooges. And I like laughing. I like fun. I like home life. I like family. Some people find what they're looking for in prosperity. They think, well, if I can just get this, or if I can get that, or if I can obtain this, then that will make me happy. And it's kind of like that new car you get, and before the new car smell goes out, you think, why in the world have I bought this thing? Now I got to pay for it. So, you know, we find prosperity. Some people look for it in acceptance. If I can get people to accept me, if I can get people to just let me be me, and if they'll accept me for who I am, and sometimes they even change who they are so they can be accepted. Some people want to be accepted by certain circles. Some people want to be accepted in the upper crust of the society. And if I could be a part of that, if I could hobnob with the big wheels, I would feel that would complete me. And the truth is, all of these things we're looking for, and none of them will truly give us what we're looking for. Some people feel, if I could get educated enough, I tell this story all the time. I've got an aunt went to school till she was 42 years old, and now I've got a son back here. He'll be graduating just about 42, but we look for it in education. If I could just get enough education, and we fall short. There's so many things in life that causes us to fall short. John said, "Are you the one we're to look for? Should we look for something else? Is there more? Should we look for the other Messiah? Is there another Messiah?" And John all the time knew that Jesus was the Christ. In the life that you live, this life is wonderful. Of all the generations that's lived from the time that Adam and Eve were created until this generation, I think we're one of the most blessed generations that has ever lived. We have more knowledge, more medical advancements, more everything than any other. I would say from this generation backwards, we have more than all they that had in all of that time combined, we are blessed. Yet we still keep searching. Let me tell you a little bit about what you're searching for. When God created you, He created you not with a flaw, but with an emptiness. When you were created, you were not created a flesh as you see that I am. What you see here and what you have is nothing more than a house that the soul and spirit lives in. When God created Adam, He did something very unique. The Bible says that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. It doesn't say that about any other of His creations. Of everything that He created, God said, and it would happen. He spoke it into existence. But man was so special, he was going to be created in the image, in the likeness of God. And when God created man, He said, He formed man out of the dust of the earth. He had this body that was before Him. A body that had fingers and toes and legs and arms, and it created this man with the very hands that He had in His image. As He created man, He looked at it and said, that's just what I want. But I'm going to make this creation so different from everything that I created. I'm going to create this creature with the ability to love me as I love Him. Why God created man is beyond our ability to comprehend. We just know that God created us for His good pleasure. He wanted man to fellowship. Jesus was there and the Holy Spirit, and they had each other, and God the Father was there, and Jesus was told by the Father, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, let us make him. So they created man. Now this empty shell stands before God, but he's not complete. He did something to man that he's never done to any other creature. The Bible says that God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Not a living flesh. This is a house. One day we'll all drop this house. But a living soul. No other creation was created to live forever. Just man. And as God breathed into man, what makes man unique is we have the breath of God in us. We can never die. We can't die because we are like God. We have that eternal breath in our souls that can never die. You may be here today saved. You may be here today lost. Whether lost or saved, you will never die. You say, preacher, everybody dies. Understand what death is. Death is separation. The Bible says to be absent from the body. That means that this soul and spirit that lives inside this house will one day move out. Because this house is not capable of keeping up with the soul and spirit because it's aging, it's deteriorating, and soon I will shed this flesh. And when I do, the Bible says, to be absent from the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. Not the body, but the soul and spirit. So one day I'll move out and I'll move in to heaven. When Adam had finished, or when God had finished creating, and He had gave Adam the story about the tree of life and what he shouldn't do and what he should do, and He created woman, and woman became the creator, or the completer of man, and now God has this perfect situation until Adam and Eve sin, and now man is flawed. There is an emptiness that God created in your hearts. Now, you're going to be one of three things today. You can be saved and walking with Christ. You can be saved here this morning and not walking with Christ, or you can be lost. There is no other ground. You're either in one of those three positions. You can be saved and not be right with God. You can be saved and be right with God, or you can be lost. But there's no other place that you can be. No matter what you are of those three, there's a spot here in your heart, not in this blood pump, but there's a spot here in your heart that's been reserved by God for Him, and nothing else can complete it. Now, there also is another factor in this story. In this story, there's someone that we don't pay much attention to who is very powerful and very strong and very much alive and well on the planet Earth today. And his name is Lucifer, the devil. He has a lot of little devils around. And you say, well, preacher, I can't see the devil. And because I can't see him, therefore he doesn't exist. Let me tell you this. Whether you believe it or not, there is a devil. Whether you accept it or not, he has a job to do. His job is to try to get you away from God or keep you away from God because he hates God so much that anything that hurts God, he's going to try to do it because of his hatred towards God. So there is a devil. So now we have God, the devil, and you and I. We have an emptiness in our heart. We have a place here that's reserved for Christ. Here's what the devil will do for you. He will try to keep you so busy, you don't have time for God. He'll try to keep you so busy that you won't notice this yearning for God in your heart. He will try to keep you so busy and try to make excuses in your life, in your heart, why you can't serve God. Let me give you one more factor, and I'll tell you the greatest story ever told. Jesus Christ can meet the need of every living human being on planet Earth. There is no one that he can't meet their need. There is no one that he can't help. There is no one that he cannot save. He can save every murderer or whatever's in prison. He can save every one of them. He can save to the uttermost. Jesus Christ can and will meet the need of every individual on planet Earth. Now let me give you the greatest story ever told. With those facts in your life, and remembering him now, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived here for 33 years. And in the last year of his life, at the end of it, he was sent here to go to Calvary. The Roman soldiers did not take his life. God knew what was going to happen. He had this plan. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, he had already thought about the tree that would be taken and chopped down and brought to Rome, and there Jesus Christ, his son, would die on the cross. Now, when Jesus Christ came into the world, what makes this story great is this. Jesus Christ took your sins and my sins, and he nailed them to the cross. He took them in his own body. He took my sins and your sin. You say, preacher, I didn't ask him to do that. Why did he do that? He did that voluntarily because you cannot save yourself. There's nothing in this world that you can do to be good enough to go to heaven. So you need someone else. When Jesus Christ came into this world and took your sins to the cross, that was not sufficient. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. I thought it was. No, he had to do something else. He had to rise from the dead for your justifications. We're the only, and I use this word just because it fits the situation. I don't like the word. We're the only religion, because we're more than a religion. We are a living entity. We're not a religion, but just for the terminology, we're the only religion in the world that has a risen Savior. No other religion even denies that our Christ is alive. They just deny Christ. But they know that there is a risen Savior. And this Savior rose from the dead that we might have life, and as Jeff said a while ago, and have it more abundantly. He did not come just to save you from heaven. He came that you might have a life and relationship with him, because inside your heart, there's a longing that only Jesus Christ can fulfill. Now, again, when I started this message, I told you there were three types of people here this morning. There's the saved walking with God. There's the saved who, if you say, would you die today? Would you go to heaven? They say, absolutely. If you say, well, are you serving Jesus? They'd say, no, I'm not. There's those folks who have redemption but have no life in Christ. And then there's the lost. Jesus Christ meets the needs of all three. I walk with Christ. I am not the greatest Christian. I am not. I love the scripture in James where it says that Elisha was a man subject unto like passions as we are. And he prayed. And it didn't rain. You know what that means? There's none good. No, not one. You see, the reason Jesus died, because we're all sinners. There's none righteous. No one is righteous enough to go to heaven. We must have a Savior. Now, you can sit here this morning and say, I don't believe in heaven. I got the news this morning. There was a lady at the watch service. She found out was having a watch service. I went to school with this young lady, and she married one of my real dear friends. and a friend who, when it came to a place in life, I received Jesus Christ as Savior. He rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. He said, I don't believe in your God. I don't want your God. I want my own life. I'm going to go visit him this week, but he's got cirrhosis of the liver. He's the same age as I am, and the doctors have already told him we've done all we can do. I would love for him to meet Jesus Christ. He chose a different direction, and now his life, he's paying for the penalty of the sins of years and years and years of alcohol abuse. He thought he had it all, but he didn't realize he was going the wrong direction. So in this greatest story that ever told, here's the essence of everything. There is a spot in your heart that's reserved for Christ. If you do not put him there, you will continually searching. And then there's the devil, old Lucifer, who's trying to keep you so busy and so occupied and have so many excuses. You say, well, I'd like to do that, but I can't. Or I'd like to do that, but I'm going in a different direction. Let me say to you, my friend, you can spend the rest of your life searching and you're never going to be happy. The only way you can be happy is to find Christ. And he's not far from all of us. Now, a lot of people believe that God is for weak-minded people. Let me tell you something, folks. If you've got any intelligence at all, you understand. You've seen these little babies here. I love these little babies. They're so cute. Older you get, the more you love little babies. But you look at these little babies, and how in the world could anyone believe that that is not a creation? Things like that just don't happen. There has to be a creator. Now, you can fantasize and believe anything you want, but I'm telling you, this is the truth right here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created all that there is. He created man. He created him for his pleasure. And God gives purpose to life. Without him, you have no purpose. And one day, you're going to wake up an old man or an old woman and realize you've wasted your whole life when you could have had something good. Let me tell you something. I've been walking this way for 40 years. I've had some trials, I've had some temptations, I've had some failures, I've had successes, I've had it all, but I've never been unhappy with Christ. He has always fulfilled everything that I ever could imagine. But you've got to walk with him. When Jesus arose from the dead, he appeared unto the disciples and to other people for a period of time, around 41 days, and after that particular time, he went out on the Mount of Olives. And he was with around 500 people were gathered together. And as they were gathered together, they was watching the Christ who had scars in his hands and still had the wound in his side and scars in his feet. And he was standing on the Mount of Olives and he tells his disciples, he says, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to stay there until the Holy Spirit comes. And then you're going to know what to do because the Holy Spirit's going to give you power. And as he was talking those words, he began to rise in the air. And the Bible says he went back to heaven where he sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us and drawing us or drawing you who are lost to a saving knowledge of Christ. And here's the good news. There's three great events that's happened in history of man. The first one was the creation of man. The second greatest event was when Jesus Christ came to this earth and died and arose from the dead and ascended back to the Father. We can't witness those. Those are in history. But the thirdest great event will be one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to sound a trumpet. If you are saved, you will hear the trumpet. At that particular time, it's going to be just a twinkling of an eye. You're going to do just like Jesus did. You're going to rise to meet Christ in the air if you're saved. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're going to rise to meet him in the air. He's going to take us back and introduce us to the Father. We're going to have a marriage supper of the Lamb. And forever and ever, in a world where there's no temptations, no disease, no heartaches, no anything that's bad, we will live throughout eternity. And it's going to be joy and peace. And people say, you know, how much fun that can that be? It'll be a whole lot more fun than what we're doing right here. You think of the happiest day in your life will not compare for one moment in heaven. There is a heaven. There is a hell, there is a God, there is a devil, and there is an opportunity for you today to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. 1 year ago, or 40 years ago, I received Christ as my Savior. What a glorious day. And I didn't even realize at the time what God had given me. If you can say, if I'd have died today, I know I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. You've got it all. Except, if you're not walking with the Savior, you're going to come up short. Oh, you mean I'm going to die and go to hell? No. You're going to come up short. God has so many blessings for you. Don't pass up His blessings for the pleasures of this world. Don't pass up His blessings because you just don't feel like you can do it or some other excuse. And if you're here today and you're not saved, don't go away lost. Give us an opportunity to take the Word of God and show you what you must do to be saved. Because God can meet your needs. He can feel that longing. He can feel that heart, that desire. He can do it if you'll let Him. So don't make excuses why God can't. Allow Him the opportunity to do it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for what it represents. We thank You that You've come to this old world to save that very thing that You created and failed You. I'm glad You did. I'm glad You loves us and cares enough for us to die for us. Thank You so much. I pray that You'd been the invitation today. Lord, what an opportunity to be saved. What a grand and glorious day to meet Christ on the very day that represents His birth, represents Your death and resurrection. Lord, we thank You for it. And we pray that someone would see their need of Jesus Christ, come and be saved. Bless Christians, Lord, help them to make a decision today to walk a little closer with You, to give their lives completely to You so that they can walk with You and have the joys of this great life that You've given us. Bless us and use us. Lift up homes. And there's a lot here to discourage and downhearted and a lot who feel like they can't do this or do that. Help them, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit to realize they not only can, but God, it is waiting for them if they'll just walk with You. Bless us to Your glory, and we'll give You the praise. We ask in the loving name of Christ our Redeemer, whose name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, and if you're here today and you're lost, you come. We'll have someone to meet you with the Word of God to open the pages and show you what you must do to be saved. If you are saved and you're a Christian, you say, well, I'm not where I should be. Why don't you come and kneel here and get it right with God, and we'll have someone to pray with you. Maybe you just like to come and pray for somebody. The altar is open. Whatever the Holy Spirit says for you to do, you come and do as we sing the invitation.
382.
Invitation open. Will you come?
Softly,
that's the way He calls, softly and tenderly.
Jesus,
you feel in your heart right now, well, you know, I don't understand it all, but I need to be saved. That's the Holy Spirit. Don't turn Him down. If you're a Christian, you say, well, I really need to make a commitment in my life and a decision. That's the Holy Spirit. He's wooing you. Will you come?
And watching for you and for me.
Come home, will you come? The invitation is still open. As the Holy Spirit deals with this individual, will you come? God wants to do something in your life. Go to another verse.
Calling, O sinner, come home.
So we sing that next verse.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me?
He's wanting to save you more than you want to be saved.
Why should we linger and heed not His mercy?
Is your heart right?
Mercies for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Fearlessly tender, Jesus is
Bible says her name's written in heaven now. And free. You heard the saying, there's no such thing as a free puppy? Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. All right. Come back and be with us tonight. Remember the membership of the church at 6 o'clock. Anything we might have forgotten? Eggs. I didn't forget no eggs. What about eggs? Are they at both doors? Sure. Are they at any doors? Jeff, how about you and somebody else? Jeff, how about one of you get some of these eggs? All right, Eddie's got it. Jeff, you come up here. Okay. And we'll give him just a second, then Jeff's going to come up here and dismiss us. Come on up here.